Welcome back to another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show. I'm your host, Josh J-Man Munt. Sitting next to me is Tanner T-Dog Lee. How you doing out there, T-Dog?
Doing pretty good, J-Man. The Broncos saved me from yet another depressing football weekend. They have done that a lot this year, and I hope they keep it up. Because I don't think my Saturdays are going to get any better through November.
Yeah. You're very lucky. You're a very lucky fella that the Broncos have been good so far. Because there have been years where they've both stunk.
A lot of years. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is. Yeah. I don't care about my teams, honestly.
Hey. You got to win yesterday. So.
Yeah. What's the point?
I mean, I guess you never know. It could spark something. They could get hot, but you're probably just hurting your draft status, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the point? But big show on tap tonight. We got World Series is tied at one game apiece. Of course, college football, NFL. We might even hit on some NBA. I haven't watched or followed a second of the NBA.
Watched a little. I don't like the product.
I agree. It's boring. I mean, the first game of the year between, who was it? It was Oklahoma City and Houston. They combined for like 87 three-point attempts. And, you know, that's a much better shot than a mid-range two. But, I mean, it's just you go down there, the crowd's not into it at all. They're just jacking up threes, maybe offensive rebound, jack up another three. I cannot stand watching this version of the NBA. And honestly, it's been this way for at least 15 years, if not more. So hopefully something changes and then,
And I know the game went into double overtime, but the Thunder Pacers shot 91 free throws and the reigning MVP shot 28 himself. That's just hard to watch.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, he's not helping, you know, the narrative around him that he's a foul baiter. He goes in there, throws his head back, tries to get every single call. And he usually gets every single call too. That's also bad. And then you got the whole, you know, gambling situation that broke this week with Terry Rozier getting arrested. And then a current head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, Chauncey Billups, involved with the mafia with these underground poker games. And betting's continued. It's going to be an issue. I mean, ESPN is in bed with all these, you know, betting sites. And, I mean, they have their own ESPN Bet. The leagues are in bed with all of these as well, so it's going to keep getting worse and worse. It's the worst thing that's happened so far to a lot of sports. I mean, you have guys like last year was kind of the big one, Jontay Porter, him getting arrested and him getting banned for life, and then I think it's just the tip of the iceberg so far. I think there's a lot more to follow here over the next couple months that come out.
Yeah, you're probably right. So, but I got some birdie or bogey with me tonight.
Let's see what the score is at here. I got a commanding 8-stroke lead.
Yeah, you're not losing that, but maybe I'll catch up and make it respectable. Probably not, because it's October 27th and I've still yet to get a birdie on the season, as embarrassingly as that is to admit. But if you remember, we closed the show last week and I said you better study up on your WNBA.
Oh boy.
I wasn't lying. You better study up.
I didn't. Typical Josh, a teacher tells me to study, and guess what? I don't.
Tanner being a teacher, that's a scary world. But anyways, there is 12 active WNBA teams in the league. Name 7 of them to get a birdie. Over half. I got 5 without looking up. That's all I can do.
Do I have to name the cities too, or can I just name the team names?
I prefer cities.
All right,
I'll be nice. We'll see what kind of mood I am at the end. But
don't be nice. I need to get the cities correct and the team name correct as well, which is not.
I'm just gonna grade like Steve Coleman graded. So
man, yeah, I did pretty well in his class. So which is rare.
I did very, very, very average.
But birdie or bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for good cuisine, cocktails located at 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
Over the weekend, they had a special going on for an appetizer. They had mini crab cakes which you could get a horseradish holiday sauce with that. And for dinner, they had chicken chorizo gnocchi.
Ooh.
Or house-made gnocchi tossed with garlic or spicy ground chicken infused with bold chorizo spices with a perfect blend of white wine, vibrant bell peppers, earthy mushrooms, and crispy broccolini, all topped with Parmesan and a savory chicken broth.
Have you ever had gnocchi before?
Yeah, in soup I have.
Yeah, it's interesting. My wife loves it. I'm indifferent. It's almost too potato.
I can take it or leave it.
It's too doughy for me.
In soups, it tastes a lot like dumplings.
Yeah,
so I don't mind it in a soup, but I don't think I've ever had it where it hasn't been based in a soup. But
yeah, I've had it where it's like actual like a pasta dish with like a meat sauce, and it's pretty good. It's just a lot. But yeah, that sounds good though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Looks good. Go check them out on Facebook, and you can see the pictures of what I'm describing, because I try to do my best to describe it. But if you can't paint a picture in your brain from my description, go check it out on Facebook.
Yes.
Yep. So, like you said in the beginning of the pod, World Series is tied up at one game apiece. Game three is tonight. Who do you think's got the edge right now? Toronto won game one. Dodgers won game two.
I would say, just because it's swung back to LA, that the Dodgers definitely have the advantage, and they're a better team as is. But neither game's been really all that close. Game one, Dodgers got up, I think it was 2-0 early, and then Blue Jays just went on a barrage of runs, scoring 11 unanswered, including a pinch hit grand slam that really busted things open. And then on Saturday night, It was a good one. It was kind of a pitcher's duel there into the seventh inning. And then they had a weird Jonas Brothers concert in the middle of it. Did you see any of that?
Mm-mm.
It was strange. Now, they stopped the game and did, like, because it's, you know, Breast Cancer Awareness Month and all of that, they did, like, the cancer thing where you stand up for cancer and hold, like, the things up.
Mm-hmm.
Which, definitely, go do that. Then they went to the Jonas Brothers for, like, a four-minute song. In the middle of the seventh inning, I think it was seventh inning, maybe the sixth inning. And everyone on Twitter said it was the weirdest thing, and it was the weirdest thing. It was strange, and it seemed like it kind of iced Kevin Gausman a little bit for the Blue Jays, who ended up giving up two homers in the sixth or seventh inning, whichever inning that was. It was strange. And then Yamamoto was unbelievable on Saturday night. He threw a complete game, gave up one run. First pitcher since 2001 to have back-to-back complete games in the playoffs. So that's pretty incredible. Now, as it swings back to L.A., as I said, I think the Dodgers have they have the momentum of winning game two, but also just being at home. Blue Jays are, I don't even know how long of a flight that would be, at least 4 hours, I'd say, from Toronto, 4 to 5 hours.
Toronto to L.A.?
Let's yeah. So they're pretty far apart, but I expect this thing to go. I will say I expect this thing to get back to Toronto.
5 hours, 35-minute flight.
Okay, so I was even shortchanging a little bit. Mm-hmm. So of course both teams had to do it, but Blue Jays being that far away from home could be interesting. But this will actually be the J-Man's book of prediction of the week. I think it gets back to Toronto, but unfortunately, I think the Dodgers win in at least. I'm going to say it goes all seven. That's
oh, wow. Okay.
I hope so. I love game sevens. They're the best thing in sports. But I think the Dodgers win, become the first team to win back-to-back since the Yankees, 98 through 2000. So, yeah.
It's kind of crazy. There hasn't been anybody to win back-to-back since then.
Yeah, the parity in baseball is greater than any other sport, really. You see different teams. It's so hard. It's so much harder to win in baseball than it is any of the other sports, especially back-to-back. You have all these series going. It's tough to do that in the NBA, too, but you can have these superstars that kind of carry you, where baseball is kind of a crapshoot in a five-game series, you know. J-Man's Book of Bruce Lee, brought to you by Travis Watchering Agency, insurance agency for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, farm insurance. Contact Travis 289-869-4561. Book it!
Yeah, I can't say I've watched too much of the World Series. I watched a little bit of game one.
Yeah, I I watched all of game two. I didn't watch much of game one. I turned it on in like the seventh inning when the Blue Jays kind of busted it open. But once the Cubs are out, I kind of sure. distance myself from the
long season. Long season that you've put
it time, is.
Effort, energy into.
And the fact that the Dodgers are in it, kind of like, why do we have to watch them again? I mean, this league loves Shohei Ohtani so much, and I still 100% think he was the guy making the bets and should be banned for life from baseball. But they cleared him real quick. They don't want their moneymaker, their face of the league, to have these allegations against them. But anyway, I saw more about Shohei Ohtani's two-run homer to cut it from an 11-2 to 11-4 deficit on Friday night than I did the grand slam for the Blue Jays that put it open, which kind of ticks me off. There was even, I think it was Fox Sports even tweeted out, man, Shohei was trying to bust this thing open, and they posted a clip of him swinging and missing because he swung really hard. I mean, that's the kind of crap that drives you nuts and makes you hate the Dodgers, for one. It's not their fault. Dodgers are, this could be a convo for a whole other day, but Dodgers are not the enemy in baseball. It is the cheap owners that are the enemy in baseball. So, yeah, that's my two cents on who do you have winning it?
I think the Dodgers in six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope the Blue Jays win it, but
the Dodgers starting pitching has been absurd, really since the start of September. Like, their collective ERA is like 1.5 or something like that. They've just been lights out, and it's hard to hit them, but it's hard to beat them. And after having it wasn't a down regular season because they won, 93 games or whatever it was, but it felt like they didn't play to their capabilities. But now in the postseason, they've lost two games, so they really knew how to turn it on.
Yep, I don't have too much more to add to that.
Yeah.
So, yep. But you want to get educated?
I do, always.
All right. Let's learn about some sporting events that happened on this day on October 27th. Wow, it jumps from 1888 to about 1961, just right off the bat. That's not a good sign.
I'm sure there's some World Series in there. Hopefully.
Haven't seen any yet.
They played it earlier in the 60s and 70s than they did in the 2000s, I guess.
On this day, 1984, Washington State University's running back Reuben Mays set a collegiate football record of 357 yards rushing in one game at Oregon.
That has been since busted for sure, right?
I would think, but 357 yards is a lot of rushing yards.
I remember Mikel LeShore had over 300 yards rushing against Northwestern at Wrigley back in 2010. 357 is a lot. I'm going to go look it up real quick.
Yeah. On this day, 1985, Anthony Carter began an NFL streak of 100-plus consecutive game receptions. On this day, 1985, who won the World Series?
85, that was the Kansas City Royals.
They routed the Cardinals 11-0 at Royal Stadium for 4 games, the 3-series win. The MVP was Brett Saberhagen.
Saberhagen? He's a pitcher.
Saberhagen, yep.
Most rushing yards in a single FBS game is 427, set by Samaje Perine. I kind of remember that game now against Kansas in 2014.
He was a worthless Bronco for a year. also on this day, 1985, Billy Martin was fired by the Yankees for a fourth time.
He had to have been fired more than any human in any industry ever.
I think he has passed Nolan Ryan and a few others for most appearances on this day segment in Tana J Man Show history.
Mike Tyson, Ted Williams.
On this day, 1986, who won the World Series?
That would be the New York Mets.
New York Mets won their second title, beating the Red Sox 8-5 at Shea Stadium for a 4-3 series win. Can you name me who the MVP was?
For the Mets in 86, was it Keith Hernandez?
Infielder Ray Knight.
Oh.
On this day, 1991, who won the World Series?
91, that was the Minnesota Twins.
The Twins beat the Braves 1-0 in 10 innings in Game 7 at the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome, winning their second title since the move to Minneapolis. Who was the MVP?
I'm going to go Kirby Puckett. Don't tell me if it's wrong. Or is it Jack Morris?
See what's Jack Morris. Jack Morris. Yeah. Yep. On his day 1992, Don Baylor was appointed the first manager of the MLB's expansion team, the Colorado Rockies.
Mm. Former Cub, worthless manager himself.
I remember when he was the Cub manager. On his day 1995, a contract was finalized for the Cleveland Browns move to Baltimore. Mm. On this day, 1999, who won the World Series?
That'd be the New York Yankees.
The Yankees beat the Braves 4-1 in Game 4 at Yankee Stadium to clinch a sweep. Who was the MVP?
It's like Scott Brosius or something weird.
He was 98.
Okay. 99, was that Jeter?
Nope.
Bernie Williams?
Nope.
Paul O'Neill?
Nope.
Roger Clemens?
Nope.
I have no idea.
Mariano Rivera.
A closer. Winning it, huh? Interesting.
Yeah. On this day, 2002, who won the World Series?
That'd be the LA Angels of Anaheim. At that time, they were just the Anaheim Angels.
Yep. Anaheim beat the Giants 4-1 in Game 7. Who won the MVP?
Was that Tim Salmon?
Nope.
Garrett Anderson?
Nope.
Troy Percival?
Nope.
Man, John Lackey.
Nope.
What position?
First base.
First
base. It says first base, but I thought he was third. But it says first
base. Oh, Troy Gloss.
Yeah.
Yeah. He played first for like the Cardinals and a couple other
teams. Yeah, it says first base, but I thought he was third.
Forgot about Troy Gloss.
On this thing, 2004, who won the World Series?
That'd be the Red Sox.
Red Sox beat the Cardinals 3-0 in Game 4 at Busch Stadium to sweep the Cardinals, win their first title since 1918. Who is the MVP of that one?
Is that Big Poppy?
No.
Man, I'm not good at MVPs. Manny Ramirez.
It was okay. Manny. You're good at getting teams, but.
I had about 50% shot there to get it, and I chose the wrong guy.
On this day, 2006, who won the World Series?
That was the St. Louis Cardinals. That's my least favorite team ever. They went 83-78 in the regular season and got hot. MVP, Pujols, I don't know. Adam Wainwright, no. He got the final out. I can't imagine it was Yachty. David Eckstein,
yep. Mm. That was day 2011, who won
the World Series. That was the Cardinals, and that was David Freese. I remember that one very well.
Yes, so this is an awful day for J-Man, October 27th.
Brutal.
Yes, yes. On this day, 2018, who won the World Series? Oh, no. Who won Game 3? Sorry.
In 2018, was the Red Sox.
Dodgers beat the Red Sox 3-2 in Game 3.
Red Sox won the World Series.
Boston would go on to win it 4-1.
Yeah, Steven Pierce won the MVP that year. That might be the most random World Series MVP ever, Steven Pierce.
On this day in 2019, Tiger Woods won a tournament 3 strokes over Hideki Matsuyama. He led wire to wire in the inaugural Zozo Championship, tying Sam Snead's record of 82 PGA victories.
He kind of had, I don't even know what to call it without being mean, but like, I'm not even going to say it. That's kind of dark what I was about to say, but it's like when people are close to passing on, they kind of have this rebound sometimes. That's kind of what happened to Tiger in his career. He had an incredible 2019, hasn't done anything since.
He had a resurgence in 2019, I would say.
There it is. That's better. That's better.
Yeah. He won the Masters 2019, Zozo. And then he's got hurt multiple times. Yeah. He's had multiple surgeries. I'm not going to speculate on air why I think he's injured so much. I got a opinion I'll share with you off air, but I don't want to throw it out there. I just, because I'm probably wrong.
I'll tweet it out tonight anyway, so.
That's all right. So, you know what? I'll throw it out there. I don't care. I feel like I can't tee it up and not throw it out there. No. I think he was on steroids at one time.
Ooh, I like it. No, I like
he was a very muscular.
Oh, for sure.
Golfer, you know, and I know he hit the weights hard and he's very athletic, but I don't know. A lot of times with steroid users, athletes, you see them get injured a lot. And I know some were by, you know, via car accident and different things like that, but some of the injuries he had, I just wonder. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wonder.
We should change the episode title from LSU fires Brian Kelly to Tanner accuses Tiger of using steroids.
It's out there now. It's out there in the world now. So I'll probably get canceled or smoked on social media or something. But I mean, I'm probably way off. And honestly, I hope I'm way off. But that's just my opinion. So. All right. Who won the MVP in 2020 on this day?
2020, Freddie Freeman of the National League won MVP. American League, that was the weird shortened season. Is it Trout?
Wait, 2020, who won the World Series?
World Series, sorry. I was thinking, Dodgers won the World Series.
Yes. They beat the Rays 3-1 in six games. Who won
Corey MVP? Corey Seager?
Roy Seager.
Okay.
Yes. And on this day in 2021, the Cleveland Guardians men's roller derby team filed a lawsuit seeking to block the MLB of using the Indians' name change to Guardians.
I wish I would have known that back in the day. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Good luck to you there, roller derby team, trying to didn't block up Major League Baseball.
Didn't work. It's fine. Didn't work. So, and that is the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Mooney Wood and Laser Crafts. Mooney Wood and Laser Crafts is a veteran owned and operated woodcraft shop and laser shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Wood Laser Crafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and Jay Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your order. And Thad actually has texted me. This is actually really cool. He texted me earlier that he was working on this. He engraved a Purdue P on a sledgehammer.
Nice.
For everybody watching. I think you can see that. So, yeah. It was really cool how, I mean, he had the design on a laptop. He had the laptop hooked up to the laser machine, and the laser machine was just cutting it out. So,
Pretty cool.
He can make all kinds of stuff. Wooden signs, different things out of lasers, patches for your hats, which I still need to get a hat to get those on. I really got to do that soon. So, DM Thad, check out his website. Let him know what he can make you. Christmas is less than 2 months away. So get something ordered, get 15% off if you let them know the Tan Jam intro sent you.
Do you want to do blind ranking real quick just to get that one out of the
way? Why not?
We talk some football. College basketball season starts next week, and we will be doing our Big Ten basketball preview on next week before the season starts. So I have, and it's been much talked about here for a long time now, that the Big Ten has not won a national title since 2000. Yep. So I have national runner-up teams here, and I want you to rank them 1 through 5 without knowing which one comes next, starting with the 2015 Wisconsin Badgers.
Really good team.
Yeah.
Lost to Duke. A lot of NBA players on that team. None of them are superstars, but that Bo Ryan team, gosh, they were good. They're one of those teams, I think if they ran to anybody else besides Duke, they probably win it all.
I agree.
Yeah, put them at 2.
Okay. 2007 Ohio State.
Another very good team that ran into a Florida team that was hot and won back-to-back championships with a list of NBA guys. That Ohio State team was, I mean, they had other good players like Daquan Cook was a good piece, but they were so Conley and Odin heavy.
Yeah.
I think Wisconsin team of 15 would have beat that team.
I agree.
I'm gonna put them at 4.
Okay. That Ohio State team also had Diebler and they had David
Leidy. Yeah, young Diebler and Leidy.
Yeah, they had some good role players, but yeah, it was definitely Conley and Odin heavy. 2018 Michigan.
No, I mean, yeah, a lot of these teams had NBA guys on them. 2018 Michigan. Why am I blanking on who they even lost to?
They lost to Villanova.
That's right.
That 18 team had, I don't even remember who was on that team. That 18 team should have lost to Houston in like the round of 32, but Abdur-Rahman hit that buzzer beater.
Yep. Purdue beat that team twice during the season, but then they beat Purdue in the Big Ten tournament championship, Madison Square Garden. I'm gonna go three.
Okay. 2009 Michigan State.
So I got 1 and 5 left. This will be my number 5. Good team. Izzo's had better teams.
For sure. Yeah. They got smacked by North Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a feat for making the Final Four, and then they made the championship game. Who else was there? That UConn was there. Was Georgetown the fourth team in that Final Four?
I don't know.
Or was it Villanova? Anyways.
No, because Jay Wright didn't get to a Final Four until later on.
I think
on,
it was Georgetown. He? I know UConn made the Final Four.
Yeah, because they beat Purdue in the Sweet 16, right? Was that
I
year?
Think
was that...
Michigan okay. State beat UConn, I think.
Okay.
With to beat and Jeff Adrian and a whole cast of guys. I put them at 5.
Okay.
I'm blanking on even naming too many guys on that team right now. Kalen Lucas.
Raymar Morgan, I think, was on that team.
They all blend together.
They do. That
was
team
was. Paul Allen on the. Or, is that his name? Paul Allen? Guy that wore number
30. Paul
Davis.
Paul Davis. Yeah. He was the. I think he was on the 2005 Final Four team.
All those teams run together.
So this list 1 through 5 is of your favorite teams. You're ranking your favorite teams. And the number one team that you absolutely love is the 2002 Indiana Hoosiers.
Wow. I just about got us in big trouble there. I was thinking Illinois or Purdue were coming next. I don't know why.
I left our
teams
Indiana, out.
That Indiana team would have been fifth.
Oh, they easily.
Had no business being in the championship game. They beat a good Duke team, Sweet 16. Then they beat Antonio Gates, Kent State in the Elite Eight. Beat a good Oklahoma team in the Final Four with Kelvin, which is kind of funny to look back at now. Kelvin Sampson led. And then they lost to Juan Dixon and Lonnie Baxter, Chris Wilcox.
Steve Blake.
Maryland team coached by Gary Williams. So, yeah, Indiana doesn't even – their fans don't even talk about that team.
No.
That's the last team that did anything of national relevance for them.
Have they even been to an Elite Eight since?
No.
I don't think so. They've been to Sweet 16 a handful of times. Not many, though.
Not since Zeller days. Well,
they went with Yogi once, didn't they? No. Yeah, because they got – smoked by Kentucky.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But that was 2016 or something like that. So it's been a minute since they've been in a Sweet 16. But
good list. Right at the start, I thought Indiana. And then it went out of my mind.
Yeah.
He might have Purdue here. Oh, he might have Illinois here.
Yeah. What re-ranking those teams, what'd you do? I think I'd have 2015 Wisconsin an easy number one. I think.
They're one.
Yeah.
Who did I put? I think I'll put Michigan 2, then Ohio State 3, Michigan State 4, Indiana 5.
I almost had the 2013 Michigan team on there because that would have been a good battle with 15 because that team had like Burke and Stauskas and – McGarry and Hardaway Jr. So,
that's it. Let it fly. Moody Wood Laser Crafts will pay the FCC fine for that team being number one. Yeah. I about did. I mean, that was close. Glad I remember what I was doing and where I was. It's been 9 years. Nobody's done that. So. Creeping up on 9 years next month around this time.
Crazy.
Good segment though this week, like always. It's always a fun one. That's the blind ranking segment, which is brought to you by Proforma Print Two Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting in 2025 or 2026, Proforma Print Two Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company by giving Barbara Van Zwijdenberg a call today at 574-210-3815. All right. Well, let's get into the title of our episode, shall we? Louisiana State, aka LSU, fires Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly, maybe the one of the most, definitely one of the most unlikable guys in college football history. In his fourth year, I mean, overall record at LSU, 34-14, 19-10 in the SEC. His records year by year break down: 2022, 10-4, 6-2 in the SEC. 2023, 10-3, 6-2 in the SEC. Last year, 9-4, 5-3 in the SEC. This year to date, 5-3, 2-3 in the SEC, which all three losses were to pretty darn good teams.
Yeah.
But you just felt like watching that game Saturday night against A&M, how it transpired. He was probably on the hottest of hot seats coming out of that game.
Yeah.
And the $54 million buyout later, he is on the market at the age of 64.
Yeah. Kirby Smart said he had a quote today when they asked him about it. And he said, back when he worked at LSU, somebody told him, you don't own this office, you rent it. So if you don't win, you're going to be gone. Again, 10-3, 9-4 at most other programs, they're tickled pink with that kind of record. But at LSU, especially after winning the national title in 2019,
yes,
that even raised expectations. But remember, they had a down stretch there before that national title, and Burrow kind of saved them with Chase and Jefferson and all those weapons.
I mean, they fired Les Miles, who won a title with them. They fired Ed Orgeron, who won a title with them.
Yeah. But it didn't seem like they were all that close to even being a playoff contender with Kelly. And again, I think I said it the past couple of weeks, like we could feel it trending to him being on the hottest of hot seats, and then it just kind of all came to a head with them losing to Texas A&M. But it was a weird fit to begin with. It seemed weird even when they hired him. I remember being on the show like, man, that's a strange hire. We'll see if it works out. And it didn't work out. And I don't think anyone will miss him at all. I'm assuming he'll get another job somewhere.
If he wants it.
He doesn't need it. I mean, $54 million buyout. Yeah. He can do whatever he wants. He can go the Jimbo route if he wants. It was strange. I thought he was a perfect fit for Notre Dame, but I think they are very, very happy with Marcus Freeman there. And it'll be interesting to see kind of what options he has, because – most fan bases, and I'm sure I don't think there's a single fan base left that likes him. I mean, he's not a coach anywhere. LSU fans turned on him real quick. Notre Dame fans hate him. Everyone who ever was not a fan of any of those teams hated him just because of who he is as a person.
Right. And I'm glad you brought that up real quick. I don't mean to cut you off, because I know Notre Dame fans hate him now, but like, especially like me as a Purdue fan, I know you're even yourself to your Notre Dame friends, a lot, anybody else that was not a Notre Dame fan, we saw how terrible of a person he was. We can't tell them. They would not see through it.
No.
Then he leaves, and then they see it.
Finally see
it. So, like, you know, because he did a heck of a job in Notre Dame.
He did. And he saved them.
I don't blame him for leaving, because he got him to a championship game in 2012 when it was still BCS. He got him to another playoff when it was four teams. I don't think, I mean, besides winning the national title, he couldn't have done anything else. And I think he knew, I'm the longest tenured coach here. I believe it was in the history of Notre Dame, or maybe tied for it. And he's like, I can't do anything else. LSU's, I got to make a quick decision here. And but it was just a weird fit. I mean, he went in faking his Southern accent. That's not a good first impression.
Yeah. And you know that, it started with, in Notre Dame, he had the scandal with the kid falling off the scissor lift and that massive win, and he refused to let him come down, essentially. So that really turned a lot of people against him anyway, except Notre Dame fans. Notre Dame fans still made excuses for it up until the time he left.
Yes.
Screaming on the sideline, just embarrassing himself, just did not seem like a very nice man, honestly. And there were stories coming out. In fact, I read one today about Matt LaFleur and Robert Saleh. I sent it to our group text how they were grad assistants under him at Central Michigan. And they show up at his house thinking, you know, he's having a holiday party. And they were invited thinking, you know, they were going to be, you know, at this holiday party. And when they showed up, he made them work the holiday party. He had to shovel snow, move cars around. They were pretty much the valet. And they said that once we become head coaches, we're never going to treat people like that. Yeah. So he's a pretty terrible model of a human being, honestly, a role model. And I kind of hope he never gets a job anywhere else, honestly.
If Thad Mooney puts it pretty good here, most wins in Indy history as a coach and hated by the fan base, you know you're a few choice words.
Yeah, definitely.
So now LSU's in the mix. Now, if we're counting Power Four jobs only, there's 8 of them open already. We're not at the end of October. You got LSU,
yeah.
Penn State, Florida, Oklahoma State, Virginia Tech, Arkansas, Stanford, and UCLA. And some others, I think Florida State will open. Mm-hmm. I think there's a good chance Auburn will open. Wisconsin should open, especially if he finishes 2-10. Yeah. Michigan State could open.
It's only year 2, though, isn't it? Or is it year 3?
I know. It's year 2, I think.
Yeah. They look bad.
I don't know what their expectations are, though.
Yeah. It's going to be wild. I mean, let's rank of the jobs open now. Let's rank a top 5. Let's say
I'm going to let my dog out of my office real quick, but you can go ahead and rank the first one and then I'll,
I think I would put LSU 1, LSU 1, Florida 2, probably Penn State 3, Oklahoma State 4. I put Arkansas 5. I think Arkansas is a better job than Virginia Tech now. Virginia Tech is so far past what they were 15, 20 years ago. It's not even funny. But, man, I think LSU is a better job than Florida. I know Florida fans don't agree. But LSU's done more winning lately. I think they have an insane amount of resources, which Florida does too. And I think Penn State fans are one of the most delusional fan bases in the country. They haven't done anything since the 90s, and they think they're still this elite job, and it's just not the case.
On 3, rank them 1-8. LSU 1, Penn State 2.
Penn State over Florida,
Florida 3, Oklahoma State 4.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia Tech 5, Arkansas 6, Stanford 7, UCLA 8. My 1-5, I'm also going LSU 1, even though I think the pressure – might be more there than some of these other jobs, but I'll go LSU 1. I'm putting Penn State 2 and Florida 3. And then I'm going to agree with Oklahoma State 4. Mm-hmm. And then I will go Arkansas 5. But the reason I have trouble ranking SEC jobs so high, because how difficult that conference is.
It is. Yeah. I mean, we even saw it with Bielema going to Arkansas from Wisconsin. He had a great thing going, wanted to challenge himself. He did a pretty good job at Arkansas, honestly, but going up against all those other teams, Arkansas just couldn't compete. And it showed itself with Sam Pittman there that it is an incredibly difficult job, even though it is in the SEC and they have, you know, Walmart money, essentially, is what they're calling it. Yeah, it's so hard to compete. I mean, all you gotta do is hire the right coach. Look at Vanderbilt. Look at Indiana, for that matter. Fact. Yeah. Just hire the right coach, but it'll take somebody that really has the will to get it done in the SEC to take that one. But yeah, I agree. I would put Arkansas 5. I think the only spot we differed were Penn State and Florida. I had Florida 2 and Penn State 3.
Did you have Oklahoma State on there?
Yep, at Oklahoma State 4, Arkansas 5. Because
I think that's a job that has a lot of money. Big 12 is not the SEC or the Big 10.
Yeah.
I mean, they are awful right now, but I think somebody could win there pretty quick.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think they have the resources to do it. And they're, again, as you said, they're in the conference to do it as well.
Yep. Because, like, the Big 10, I think they're right up there with the SEC at the top. But my goodness, the bottom. I mean, we're comparing Purdue to Mississippi State or South Carolina or Kentucky, I guess, maybe. Man, that's night and day. Night and day. And that's my old team. And I'm talking trash about them because it's true.
Yeah, it's definitely – the SEC is definitely much deeper. Which a lot of that has to do is the Big Ten is so much bigger, too, at this point than the SEC is, which kind of helps with the depth of the SEC, in my opinion. They have less teams. But
how many – what, 2 less teams?
Is that it? They have 16 teams?
I feel like – I mean, I could be wrong, but, you know, they
– You're probably right.
Texas, they just added.
Yeah. I don't want to count them.
I don't want to. Yeah. I haven't done a lot of math at all myself, but I just don't want to count. So
yeah.
But it'll be – it's good. This coaching carousel, it's going to be like any we've ever seen, because – it not only do these jobs get filled, it opens up jobs we're not even talking about. There's a chain reaction, a domino effect to this.
And honestly, that might be a reason why Fickell hangs around, is you see these big jobs open and you think, oh, we can't compete with that. What are we going to get, you know? And that's probably a dumb reason. But Barry Alvarez has even said, like, you fans don't even know what goes into being a good head coach. Say yada, yada, yada. He's a disaster there at Wisconsin, Fickell is. Maybe that gives some pause to some teams firing coaches, because they know we're going to have to go up against LSU and Florida and Penn State, those teams.
Yep. So it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be fascinating if they hire coordinators from the NFL, or if, you know, there was a report over the weekend, Steve Sarkisian of Texas could leave for the NFL if the opportunity presents itself.
So,
I don't know. Well, so, but, Brett Bielema, I could see him leaving Illinois if an opportunity comes. Because I don't know if he can do much more at Illinois.
No, I'd be shocked. I think a lot of people would be shocked, especially after he left already one school and it was bad there. I think a lot of people would be shocked. Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, I was thinking just maybe he's tapped out of what he can do at Illinois.
I think he 100% is tapped out. I think he can sustain, you know, a good program, but I don't think they're going to win 10 games ever again, probably.
Yeah. Ever is a big word. But
I'll even say ever. I mean, they could get there this year, I guess, but they'd have to.
I never thought Indiana would be ranked number two.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
And here we are. So, all right, let's talk about some Big Ten games, starting with what was supposed to be the biggest Big Ten game of the year. Yeah. Now it's a 20.5-point spread. Penn State at number one, Ohio State.
Give me Ohio State for 5. I think they handle them.
I got the Buckeyes for 5 as well. Rutgers at Illinois.
Illinois coming off a tough one on Saturday against Washington. Their defense stinks. But I think we both had them 8-4 in our preview, and I think at this time in my predictions, I had them 5-3. I had them losing to Indiana, Ohio State, and Washington, so they're right there where I thought they'd be. But time to recalibrate expectations for the rest of the year, although they should be favored in their final four games. This will be an interesting one, because I think Cali Akmanis can sling it all over the yard, and they had that guy, that wide receiver, that went absolute off against Purdue on Saturday. On 6 catches for what was it, 240 something? It was absurd.
Yeah, it was the most by a wide receiver against Purdue since my dad was a student in 1983.
I believe it. Give me Illinois for 3. I think it's closer than what's the spread on that one?
I got Illinois for 3 as well. Rutgers it's frustrating because they're not that talented of a team, but they're gritty.
Schiano acted like he won the national title.
I know he did. Which,
The way they won was pretty incredible.
12.5.
Okay, I think Illinois covers that.
Yeah, I do too.
13 or 14.
Yeah, it was incredible. And like, well, I mean, my team's so bad. My program's just so bad right now. They're inventing new ways to win or lose.
That was a very Purdue way to lose.
Oh my gosh. Bat the ball down, son. Bat the ball down. He was trying to make a play, but my God. I got Illinois for 3 as well. Michigan State at Minnesota. Minnesota's only a 3.5-point favorite because they got killed at Iowa.
Whooped. Iowa's pretty dang good.
They are.
Give me Minnesota for 2.
This is weird. I got Minnesota for 2. We might agree on every single point. Number 2, Indiana at Maryland. This spread is 22.5.
Man, when's the last time IU's been favored by double digits on the road?
Never.
Let alone 22. Give me IU for 4.
I got Indiana for 4.
Definitely. I guess our other one could be kind of, it's more of a coin flip. So,
Purdue at Michigan. Michigan is a 20.5-point favorite. Michigan is ranked 21 now.
Do you feel like the fan base has jumped off after that Rutgers loss?
A lot of them jumped off before that, to be honest, that's Josh. Fair. That's why I was getting mad at them. But I don't want Barry Odom going anywhere. I think
it'd be
3 years minimum. But I mean, the guys are playing hard.
Yeah,
I just don't think he has a lot of talent on the team.
No, he had to replace so many.
82 new guys, and a lot of them were just filler just to practice this year. I think what they do in the offseason this year is going to be key going forward.
Oh, for
it's
sure.
going to be make or break offseason for them, really.
Yeah, already, which is crazy. But that's kind of mm-hmm. the landscape of college sports anymore.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I read today that 84% of FBS quarterbacks transfer at least once.
That's
84%.
No loyalty whatsoever.
Nope. Give me Michigan for six.
I got Michigan for six. I this is such a loser mentality, but with Purdue's November coming up, which is just a gauntlet, if they cover spreads in games, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
That's such I hate that. That's such a
I know.
I wanted to go 4-8. They probably should be 4-4 right now, and I'd be feeling pretty good, but they're not gonna win another one. They're gonna go 2-10 in two full years without winning a conference game. It's just yeah. It's depressing for me, but
it is.
Is what it is. Yeah. So, number 23, USC at Nebraska, and the line is USC is 6.5-point favorites.
I have USC for one.
I do as well.
All right, clean sweep, huh? Clean sweep.
That's an easy edit for me this week on the graphic. Just change the name.
Yep.
Oh man. Let's go around top 25 games this week. I haven't even looked at the slate. Number 10, Miami is at SMU, who is now 5-3. I didn't realize they had a record 5-3. Miami is 12.5-point favorites.
Give me my Canes. They won that one.
Number 9, Vanderbilt at number 20, Texas. Texas is a 1.5-point favorite.
Give me Vandy. I think Texas stinks.
I think Texas gets it done at home.
They should.
I mean, they had a heck of a comeback at Mississippi State the other night. Maybe that gets them going a little bit.
Yeah.
I think Vanderbilt's fine, but I don't know if they're number 9 good.
I don't think so either. If they're
they
in the big,
some really good wins.
If they were in the big, I mean the fact that if they were in the Big Ten, I think they'd be ranked 21st.
Number 16, Louisville, who is 6-1 at 3-5 Virginia Tech. Louisville's a 10.5-point favorite. Jeff Brohm's name keeps popping up for some of these jobs because I think his agent's working it to try to get a big raise from Louisville.
I can't imagine he'd leave his home.
I wouldn't think so.
Florida or LSU would be enticing, but I don't think either fan
Penn State
would be Penn State would be real interesting. I don't think any of those fan bases would be overly pumped about him. I think he's a very good football coach, though. Give me Louisville, easy.
I'll take Louisville as well. Just guessing this one, just because we're talking about Notre Dame. Number 12, Notre Dame 5-2 at 1-7 Boston College. Notre Dame's 28.5-point favorites.
Bill O'Brien had a good first year there, and it's been rough. Give me Notre Dame, very large.
The world's largest cocktail party. Number 5, Georgia at 3-4 Florida.
And Jacksonville.
This game is still played in Jacksonville. Yep, I was checking that. Georgia's only 7.5-point favorite.
Give me Georgia. I think that covers.
I like the dogs as well. Number 15, Virginia, 7-1. Talk about turnaround. 4.5-point favorites across the country at 5-3 California.
Give me Cal and a mini upset there.
I agree. I'm taking Cal as well. We'll go over two more here. Number 18, Oklahoma, 6-2 at number 14, 6-2 Tennessee is a 2.5-point favorite.
Give me Oklahoma. I like the way they've been playing.
I'll take Tennessee. Oklahoma coming off a close loss to Mississippi. Mm-hmm. Tennessee blew out Kentucky. In the college game day game, number 17, 7-1 Cincinnati at number 24, 6-2 Utah, who's an 8.5-point favorite.
I think the most surprising part of that sentence is they're actually going away from the SEC. Game day is. Give me Utah.
Yep. I like Utah. Yeah. I mean, good on Scott Satterfield for saving his job.
Definitely.
Cincinnati. I mean, they're one losses week one at Nebraska, in which they threw a red zone interception.
Yeah, on first down, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So, one other note. One other job that might be opening up, I forgot to mention, Colorado might be opening up because Deion's got health problems.
Yeah.
And my goodness, it's not going well there. They lost 53-7 to Utah at halftime. It was 43-0 in Utah had, I believe, either in the 400s or almost 400 yards in the first half. Colorado had negative 18 yards.
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad.
Yeah, it's not going good for Prime and Warren Sapp and Marshall Faulk and his all-star coaching staff out there.
Warren's out there walking around, knocking down the pylon. That's so stupid. That's so immature.
Yep.
At least Dion showed a little bit of, you know, I'm going to go pick these up and put them back.
Yeah. All right, NFL, we got 10 minutes to fly through our winners, losers, and our week 9 picks.
My first winner, Green Bay Packers. Man, did they look good last night on the road in Pittsburgh. Jordan Love's a stud.
Yep, they're real good. I'm going back to Thursday night. I don't like them, but the LA Chargers beating the Vikings 37-10. It was a big game for both teams, and your boy Herbert played pretty good.
He did. He threw what looked to be a pick six, but the guy just flat out dropped
it. And then that flipped everything.
Yeah, it did. It did. My second winner is the Houston Texans. Good win against the San Francisco 49ers. It was at home, though.
I'm going with the Jets, Jets, 39-38 win over the Cincinnati Bengals on the road.
Yeah. My last winner here is the Buffalo Bills. They destroyed Andy Dalton. Destroyed him.
I'm going with your Miami Dolphins, 34-10 victors on the road. Everything, you know, you had Dolphin fans coming out saying, put a muzzle on their quarterback. You had Banners.
Only one.
Around. Yeah, it was probably multiple, but yes, probably. I'm calling you out. Banners getting flown. I mean, Kirk Cousins looked terrible yesterday, but I mean, everything was against Miami, going into a place where I thought it was a tough place to play. They just beat the Bills two weeks ago on Monday Night Football, but the Dolphins took it to them.
Give credit to Mike McDaniel for keeping the team together, and they played pretty well.
Yep. Three losers.
My first loser is the Atlanta Falcons. That's a bad Dolphins team that they just let destroy them. I mean, you look at the guys who had ran all over the Dolphins this year. 238 yards to Rico Dowdy or whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. Over 100 yards to four other running backs. And Bijan Robinson, who's arguably the best running back in the league, had 11 yards rushing yesterday, I think.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of that had to do with the Dolphins got up big early and Falcons couldn't really do anything. And Bijan had a bad fumble, too. In the second half, but Kirk Cousins looked very, very washed yesterday. And credit Mike McDaniel for keeping the team together, and Dolphins played fairly well.
Cousins looked bad. Dalton looked bad. The backups looked Snoop Hudley did okay.
And they won, Bears, I guess.
Yeah. Which the Bears are one of my losers.
Yep, they're on my list.
Yeah, I just don't know about Caleb Williams. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. New York Giants, it's one thing to lose, but to lose your running back to a very nasty dislocated ankle, Cam Scataboo, who's out for the year, rough.
Yep. Number two, Pittsburgh Steelers, up 9.5, did show up in second half. I know my dad thinks Baltimore's going to come back and win that division. If I'm Pittsburgh, I'm a little scared.
I'm right there with you, especially with Lamar supposedly coming back. I could see it. Yeah. My last loser here is the Minnesota Vikings. Carson Wentz is done. Just start JJ, see what you have. If not, if he's bad, you got to kind of start over, which is a bad place to be.
My last loser is the hype every year, the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Wash, rinse, and repeat every year. Their defense is horrendous. I know they're banged up too, but Eberflus. It looks like he doesn't know what he's doing out there, but Denver's defense also shut Dak and CD and Pickens down. And Javon, I mean, they got weapons all over the place. The Broncos have not lost to the Cowboys since the Clinton administration. So.
Wow. Interesting. Did not know that.
They don't play them very often, but they beat them when they do. So.
Nice.
All right, let's pick some week 9 games starting Thursday night. Baltimore Ravens at the Miami Dolphins.
Still don't know about Lamar, and I made this pick assuming Lamar plays. Dolphins have played Lamar, I think, 5 times in his career. They beat him once. The other games are like 55-10, 52-14. Like, they just get destroyed. So I'm taking Baltimore for 12.
I think Vegas thinks Lamar is playing because the Ravens are 7.5-point favorites. This is the type of win, though, if the Dolphins could pull this off, maybe it really does springboard
a little momentum. Well, they have Buffalo the next week.
We'll see what shape Buffalo's in after playing Kansas City this next week. But I'm taking the Ravens for 6.
Okay.
Denver Broncos at Houston Texans. This is interesting. The line flipped today from Broncos 1.5 to Texans 1.5.
Interesting. I am taking Denver for 2. I think they're playing some very good football.
I'm taking the Broncos. I'm taking the Broncos for 8. I thought that was the most complete game they've played under Sean Payton in 3 years. But I will say, I think Houston's defense will be the toughest they've faced to date. Yeah. So we will see. And a lot of it might hinge on the health status of Patrick Surtain, so who went out with a shoulder injury yesterday and did not come back in the game second half. San Francisco 49ers at New York Giants. Niners are 2.5-point favorites.
Give me Niners for 8.
I got the Niners for 7. Indianapolis Colts, best record in the league, 3.5-point favorites at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Give me Steelers for 4. I think this is one where the Colts kind of, maybe not a wake-up call, but I think they lose this one.
I think the Steelers, I'm taking Steelers for 1. Rarely in the Mike Tomlin era do you see the Steelers lose 3 games in a row, including back-to-back home games. Teams have to shut Jonathan Taylor down. Way easier said than done. Dude's probably MVP right now. But if you do that, then I think it's tough for the Colts to win the game if you make them into a passing team. So taking the Steelers for 1, but I keep it's only 1 because I keep doubting the Colts and they keep proving me wrong. So Carolina Panthers at the Green Bay Packers, who are 12.5-point favorites.
Give me Packers for 11.
I got the Packers for 13. They looked really good last night. Minnesota Vikings at the Detroit Lions, who are 8.5-point favorites.
Give me Lions for 14. That's about 14.
I got the Lions for 11. L.A. Chargers at the horrendous Tennessee Titans. Chargers at 9.5-point favorites on the road.
Yeah, they struggle on the road, too. Give me Chargers for 10.
I got the Chargers for 12. Falcons at Patriots. Patriots are 5.5-point favorites.
Give me New England for 9. Still don't know if I believe in them, though.
I got the Patriots for 10. Bears at Bengals, at the Cincinnati Bengals. Bears, 2.5-point favorites.
Give me Bengals for 5. I think they bounced back. Oh, that was a bad, bad loss. Bad loss.
I got the Bears for 2. Don't know why.
No.
But I got the Bears for 2. Jacksonville Jaguars at the Las Vegas Raiders. Jaguars, 3.5-point favorites.
Give me Raiders for 1.
I'm taking the Jags for 9. I think the Raiders stink.
I think Jags stink.
I think they both stink. New Orleans Saints at L.A. Rams, who are 13.5-point favorites.
Rams for 13.
Rams for 15. I can't believe this is not Sunday night. 15
games? There's only 14 games.
14?
Yeah, okay.
The kids, because your buys, Browns, Jets, Eagles, Buccaneers.
Well, Kansas City. Yeah, you said Rams for 15. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Rams for 14. Sorry, 14. The Kansas City Chiefs at Buffalo Bills. Chiefs are 1.5-point favorites. I can't believe this isn't Sunday or Monday night.
You know, I respect the fact that it's not. Give me Bills for 3.
I got the Bills for 3. Seattle Seahawks, 3.5-point favorites at the Washington Commanders.
Give me Seahawks for 7.
I got the Seahawks for 4. And Monday Night Football, Arizona Cardinals at Dallas Cowboys, who are 2.5-point favorites.
Give me Cowboys for 6.
I got the Cowboys for 5, basically, because they are at home. Before we can do birdie or bogey real quick, I have I have a few interesting things I meant to go over earlier. Yesterday was the first NFL Sunday to have 0 or 1 games decided by single digits since December of 1970.
I didn't even realize that. Wow.
Yeah. Daniel Jones became the second quarterback in history to have his first 5 home starts and have a passer rating of 100 or above. Can you name the first guy to pull this off?
Say that again.
Daniel Jones is second quarterback in NFL history to have his first 5 home to win his first 5 home starts and have a passer rating of 100 or above.
Mahomes?
Nope. Good guess though.
I don't know.
He's an active quarterback.
Active quarterback. I don't know. I don't even have a guess for you. Dak?
Brock Purdy.
Oh.
And who was the last head coach to win a national championship within their first 2 years at a school?
Gene Chizik.
It was Gene Chizik. I'm glad I didn't give you the birdie bogey there.
Oh, man.
I thought about it. Maybe the worst head coach to ever win a national title? Maybe? Maybe?
Maybe. Hell, Orgeron was pretty bad, too. He just lucked into Burrow and Jefferson.
I mean, Chizik wasn't good at Iowa State.
He wasn't.
He got the job. So.
Coach O had some success as an interim at USC, too. So I guess.
I'll never forget Charles Barkley's reaction when Auburn hired Chizik. He was not happy, but they won the title mainly to Cam Newton and Nick Fairley and the boys. But
damn.
All right, birdie or bogey, there's 12 active WNBA.
That's teams. It, huh?
Yeah, only 12. Name 7 to get a birdie.
Indiana Fever.
That's 1.
Chicago Sky.
That's 2.
LA Sparks.
3.
Minnesota Lynx.
That's 4. WNBA team.
New York Liberty.
Five. Like those are the exact five I got.
Oh man.
No, I got one more. You must have got one I didn't get there. I guess the team that's not even in existence anymore that used to be.
I think Cleveland's getting a team. Unless they already have one, I just don't know.
They do not have one. They're getting one. They do not have
Seattle
one.
Storm.
There you go. Six. Oh, Arena Sonics back. Come on.
Man. Tapping out. I don't know.
You could have went with the Atlanta Dream.
Wouldn't have got that one.
The Connecticut Sun.
No.
The Las Vegas Aces, who were in the WNBA Finals. They might have won it, actually.
I should have probably got that one.
The Phoenix Mercury.
Ah, I knew Phoenix had a team.
Washington Mystics. Golden State Valkyries. They're brand new, I guess.
Didn't know that one.
The Dallas Wings.
I knew Dallas had a team. I didn't know what their name was, though.
The team I guessed that didn't wasn't even active is the Houston Comets.
Oh, I remember them. Wasn't that who was their famous
Cheryl Swoops? Swoops.
Yeah.
Swoop.
Yeah. Thanks for watching the Tana and J-Man show. We'll be back at it next Monday with our college basketball preview show. Can't wait for that one. Have a fantastic week, everybody.